That's good. So I want to be Anthony Perosi. You guys hear the name Anthony Perosi this week? Okay. Anthony Perosi is the owner and operator of Perosi Plumbing in Staten Island. Okay. Perosi Plumbing in Staten Island. This guy, plumber, you know, about my age, 25, and if you lie in church, you get smitten dead right there. But that's all. He's a plumber, middle-aged, actually a little older than I, 27-year-old son. Son works sales for food. He's in a tough time with his plumbing business. Anybody know? Oh, they're looking him up right now. No. You have to listen to the sermon. Anybody here own their own businesses at any time in their lives? Okay. How is it being doing your own work? You contract out. Why? Just because. I know why it's tough. How's work, you know? If you're a contractor, because you're a contractor, right? Yeah. What's it like owning your own business? Well, he's a contractor, so like a plumbing contractor or a general contractor, you do work on doors. By the way, if you need any patio doors, see Degel Construction right here. Thank you. Summer's coming, 20% off if you mention FWC. Hurry now, that number again, direct or collect, 1-800-DEGELS. Okay. When is it good? When is it bad?
A little bit of a niche, and so a lot of times I have too much stuff coming in, and so trying to manage life, baby, business, I tend to get behind on phone calls, and then you're just scrambling, trying to keep up with everything. So, or when there's not enough, though, too, you're like, okay, Lord, what's going on? Am I going to go get another job?
Yeah. Those questionings, huh?
Yeah.
And when it gets thin, and then your truck breaks. And that's what happened to him. He's a plumber. Doing plumbing and air conditioning, and then kind of making it barely, and his truck breaks down. What happens then? You can't say those words in church, right? You are had. You are, and he was in a very frustrated state. His plumbing truck had broken down. He was not able to do his work. And so, and he was a little bit despondent because he was a guy who played the lottery all the time. And the 7-Eleven near his house, somebody had, where he always bought his tickets, somebody had won. And they were all talking about it. And his buddy, the bartender, the local source of all news, had informed him that it was a teacher from their neighborhood that had won and claimed the ticket. And he was really despondent. And he went down into his basement where he actually pinned his tickets behind a pipe. Ironic. For a plumber, right? Pin them back there to keep them. And he went back through, you know, you go through looking. He thought he could get a couple of $100 if he could find something that had won 5 here, 10 there, 20 there. And he pulls out one of the tickets, and he won $139 million. $139 million. He was the guy who had won from that 7-Eleven. $139 million. He said, I felt like I was having a heart attack. I thought I was having a heart attack, he said. And so I grabbed the ticket so that if I died, it would be in my hand. And my kids would get it because it was my ticket. I just think that's awesome. And the thing I think about is the replay. Because it had been 6 weeks since he had bought that ticket. Now think about all the stress that he experienced in that 6 weeks. The stress, how am I going to keep my plumbing business alive? Oh my gosh, the bills. Oh, right. Then you know what it's like driving especially a work truck. It's going a little, like, oh, I don't like that noise. I don't like that noise. Oh, no, 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 please, please, please. Then, ka, 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 ka. Okay. And then next. All those words. And then the stress just, it comes up. How am I going to keep this thing afloat? And then comes, you know, the stress with those that you love. And were you talking about Brad? You know, the kind of the bitiness, the people you yell at, the your plumber's helpers, right? That you work with, and you think all the second guessing. Why did I ever take this stupid job? I could have been a tailor like my father, you know. Actually, he's Italian, he's the brosy, so, you know, hey, I could have been a plumber. I was a plumber, oh no, right? But all those thoughts, I should have gone to college. But then you roll it back even further. What about the years that he's experienced? From the time of his 20s when his son was born, going, how am I going to provide for this kid? I shouldn't have taken this career. All the losses, every time somebody ripped him off. Because you know you get ripped off, especially if you're a plumber in Staten Island. Right? People don't pay you. People go, they default on your work. Every time that happened, and him thinking, oh, what about my retirement? Ah, all the stress of all of those years. See, he was a multimillionaire when his van broke down. That's the thing. He was already a multimillionaire. It was just hidden behind a pipe in his basement. He'd been a millionaire for 6 weeks. He'd had $139 million for 6 weeks and did not know it and was living as though he was in poverty. He was living the stress of poverty even though he had $139 million sitting behind a pipe in his basement. There's something kind of comic tragic about that. I think about that kind of stress, trying to get that van to that mechanic, all that ire and frustration and despair and self-recrimination, all the stuff I shouldn't have, what did I do? Imagine the things that he called himself over the years. The dialogue in his head. I'm never going to make it. I'm 58 years old and all I can do, I don't even have enough money to fix my truck. I don't even have a credit card to fix my truck. I'm searching for lottery tickets down in my basement to fix my truck so I can go get enough money to buy another lottery ticket. I can't even get my truck fixed. What a loser. But he was worth $139 million. Million dollars. He split it with his son, by the way. After taxes, I think he walked away with $38 million and his son walked away with $26 million. His son was in food sales in Staten Island, you know, that height of cuisine. You think the futility and the pointlessness of all of that conflict, all of that stress, all of that pain, absolutely for no reason. And what he thought of that week's stress when he went, you know, got in a limo to go collect his $139 million. It reminds me, person shall remain nameless, talking to someone recently who was relaying the incident of, you ever lost your phone? Never lost your cell phone? No, never lost your, well, said person having lost their cell phone could not find their cell phone. Could not find the cell phone and then said, you know what I'll do? I'll call my friend and have her call my phone. That way it'll ring. Ever done that? Okay, admit. Come on, let's admit. Fess up. You ever looked for the thing that was in your hand? Right? I was late for class. I was late for class. I had to be there, you know, because if you're 10 minutes late, the students leave. And I was so late for class. And I was so frustrated because, man, I had to get to class. And I could not find my keys, no matter where. I was looking everywhere for my keys. And I had my notes. I was ready to give my lecture. And I could not find the keys until I heard them jangling. I went, are you kidding me? You know? Have you done that? With it? All the time doing this. Yeah, I sure am glad I can see to get my glasses. It's great having my contacts in. Now I can see to look for my glasses. Like Robbie preaching, right, during Lent. She's going, I just can't read this. And who is it that said? Yeah, Kim, you go, why don't you use your glasses? She goes, I don't know. Oh, right. Never haven't done that. We're weird critters, aren't we? And it's right there in your hand. But see, our habits of awareness and the focus of our attention can make things invisible. Even though it's right there, there's a very, very well-known classic psych experiment where they have somebody concentrate. They win a prize if they win a certain amount of money if they can count like how many tasks this guy sitting at a desk is doing. Right? And he's doing these things, and you have to count what he's doing. And in that frame, in that filming frame, a man in a gorilla suit walks by behind him. And over half the people do not see the guy in the gorilla suit because they're concentrated on the task. They're focused. And the guy, how many people in the video? It's just one. Anything unusual happen? Oh, there's 23 tasks or whatever it might be. Guy in a gorilla suit just marching past. Not there because of where our attention is. Last week, we've been going through Metaphors of the Church. It's a series, Metaphors of the Church. And last time, we looked at the church as a company of children. People who are both offspring of God and young, immature, and seeking growth. The terms techna, right? Technon. For a child, plural techna. And what was the other one? Do you guys remember? Close. That's how you know whether what a paideon. A paideon has a dipeion. Kind of, yeah. So good, you got it. That's all you gotta do is get dyslexic. Just get dyslexic and you'll speak Greek. It's very good. If you have a Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 8. We looked at 1 John last week, where he says, and little children, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. After he says, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we could be called the children of God. Right? It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So we know that there's something coming up. Isn't it cool? Would you please make the baby cry on cue? A paideon has a dipeion. It's really cool. It's great. So we know that there is a state of being for us coming. That we have not yet actualized. That there's something glorious, wonderful coming that we haven't yet actualized. We don't experience that yet. It's anticipated in future. Romans chapter 8. That's what this explores. Sorry, I have to turn there now. Pardon me. Listen to raindrops keep falling on the head. Okay, good. Start verse 12. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Man, just think about that verse for a second. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You hear that? So we're children of God. We don't walk according to the flesh. We do walk according to the Spirit. And if we are led by the Spirit, we are children of God. That's the whole point. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery or bondage. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. But you have received the spirit of sonship when we cry, Abba, Father. It is the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. I really like this verse. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided that we suffer with him in order that we might also be glorified with him. Think about that guy with that ticket. Okay? There's this space of time between the time he goes and the time the money's in his account. Right? Just like there was a space of time between when he bought it and when he realized I'm the winner. I won. There's a space of time between when he bought it and when he realized that he'd won. He'd won way back there, but there was a moment in which he realized that he won. And then there's a space of time between the moment when he realized that he won and when that money actually went into his account. You know, the award has funded. Waiting for that to fund into the account. But at the same time, when do you think he started living like a millionaire? As soon as he realized it. Was the money in his account? No. But when did he start living like it? Okay. When did he stop worrying about whether or not he was going to fix his truck? Right? When he really integrated, yes, when he got the word back, yes, you really have won. That really is your ticket. And that's when he stopped living like a pauper and started living like a millionaire, even though it didn't fund then. And that's the end of the sermon. Thank you. But it's totally okay. This is what Paul is talking about. He says, now, you are, I was just joking about it being over. He says, you are supposed, and I am supposed, to be living in a certain way as children of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're supposed to live that way now. Part of that means casting off living carnally, according to the flesh. What is it, if you think about it, what is the appeal of stuff that's sinful? Pleasure? I think two main forces, pleasure and dread. Pleasure and dread. You know? We dread. When's the last time you lied? When's the last time you lied? Never. That was it. right then, somebody's more up to date than you guys. You can catch up soon. Just agree with him. Right? Dread. We do all these. We scurry around out of fear of safety, self-protectionism, right? And we sin. Or the longing for pleasure. I gotta get the pleasure now. I'm going to get old. I'm going to die. I got to get it all in now. I have to actualize all my impulses and feelings. I have to experience everything. 1,001 places that you have to go before you die. Right? How many years do you think you have to travel? 1,001 places you have to visit. I got to go to like 70 a year.
I got to go to 2 a week.
If I live to be 110. But that sense of, oh, I've got to get the pleasure in. I've got to get the pleasure while I can. But the donut's right there. Yes, I know. But that urge for pleasure, because I've got to actualize my life now. Or the dread of the clock ticking or of self-harm. And it pushes us into stuff. Listen to this again. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I wonder, just think for a moment. I mean, he's from Staten Island. He's a plumber. I wonder, and I'm not casting aspersions on his character, but I wonder if he ever cut corners on someone. How he was in his business dealings. I wonder if he ever just kind of bumped that price a little bit for the labor or for the materials, because I got to do this, man. I got a family to feed. I got a truck I got to fix. That thing breaks down all the time. I got a retirement that I don't have. A guy's got to make it and survive. I got to cut corners. Do you realize how pointless and futile that was? All of the fear he experienced was for nothing. All of the corners that he ever cut in life were for nothing. He didn't need to. I wonder how many corners he cut in that 6 weeks. Little white lies, you know. Well, actually kind of gray lies. It is Staten Island. Well, nothing here is white or black. It's all gray. He didn't need to. Could have been really at ease, at peace, taking whatever hits he needed to take and just cruising through it. The Lord says, why don't you live that way? Why don't you live at peace? Why don't you just be led by the Spirit? Oh, it's going to cost me. For what life? This life? This is your disposable rental car life. Huh? The suspension doesn't matter. Man, rental cars can take incredible... They have much stronger suspensions when it's a rental car. You can take bumps. You can take curbs. It's totally fine. You know? That's our lives. This is the styrofoam practice. We get all uptight about it. No. It says, nope. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time aren't worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed to us. What, this bill for this van? That's nothing. I'm going to have $139 million. Oh, $250 for, you know, a new something valve. Those sufferings aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that's to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility or emptiness, not of its own will, but by the will of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the glorious liberty of the children of God. Glorious liberty. I love that phrase. Glorious liberty. When's the last time you felt glorious liberty? I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You know? Normally that involves returning a rental car. This is not a sermon. I remember years ago we were in Washington, D.C., and we'd gone there for a conference. And actually, we'd gone up to Staten Island that day. And we were driving back. There was five people in the car. And it was howling, a huge storm, pouring rain, just drenched 4 or 5 hours. And we're driving down. I'm driving. It's a brand new Oldsmobile. And we're driving. And have you ever been to anybody been to Washington, D.C.? Okay, there's this, you know where Arlington is by the Pentagon? And there's just nothing there. And then there's this really low bridge on the loop. It's just a really low bridge. And I'm driving that and the lights are kind of going, I'm going, man, there's even water. It's wet underneath the bridge. That's a really low bridge. Whoa! And it wasn't a low bridge. The road went down and there was 3.5 feet of water. It looked like it was flat, but it was 3.5 feet of water in this. And I hit this thing like 70 miles an hour. And you can hear the motor as it sucked the water into the air intake. It went, and you're like, da-dunk. I'm like, aw. No, I can't make that sound again. Okay? I'm like, oh, cook the motor. I just cooked the motor. It's, because you could hear stuff breaking. It's like, you know? And then somebody in the back starts opening the door. Don't open the door! You know, roll the window down. I climb out the driver's side door. Because I'm thinking, it's dark. There's got to be another car doing 70 miles an hour soon coming behind us. So I push this, there were five people in. I push this car out of the water by myself. Just in time to, this other car hits it. I'm like, stay in the car. I think I probably pushed a dozen cars out of that water. It was crazy. And finally, they got, you know, there were no cell phones at that time. This is a while ago. It was an Oldsmobile. And and they got some help there and blocked it all off so that people weren't running in there. And so I call up car rental. Finally, when we get to the tow place, it was the truth. Told them, your car broke down on me in the rain. I hit some water and it stopped and I'm stuck in the rain. I need a car right away. I'm going to fly out. They're like, yes, sir. We'll get you another car. We'll drop off a Buick. like you know, I'm getting coffee. And felt so good when they towed all the water coming out. They towed this car away. I'm like, that one's going to hurt. Because it only had like 5,000 miles on it. Totally cooked. Which is a funny story to me because it's not my car. I turned it in. But you know, there was that moment between when I dropped that car off and when I got my car. Same way. The Lord says, you live in a moment that is between the time you bought the ticket when you gave your life to Christ and the time, hopefully, when you realize just what an inheritance you have. What kind of an heir you really are. How much grace and how much glory is going to be poured into you. I know it sounds crazy, it's religious and it's weird, but it's absolutely true and guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that you really are going to have eternal life? Eternal life. Then maybe you need to stop flipping through all those health magazines or worrying about that feeling you have. Do you realize, and I know, again, it's religious and it might sound crazy, but it's absolutely true and guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that you really are going to be perfect. Perfect. Holy and whole and flawless and guilt-free, without regret, without remorse, without chagrin, without self-recrimination. You really are going to be able to go, sacred cow. cow. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. Wow. Why was I so uptight? Why was I so snippy? Why was I so concerned with such petty offenses? Why was I so incredibly territorial? Why did I cover my flaws so badly? I'm perfect. Why did I hide? Why did I lie? Why in the world did I stress about that stuff? I don't get it. I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I have no sin. That sounds weird. It was always a lie before. I have no sin. I have no worries. I am free. I am whole. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning and intervailed together until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we await for the adoption as children, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that's seen isn't hope. That's good math, right? Hope that's seen isn't hope. There's that lag time till you cash that, till it funds. That's just having fun, going, I won the lottery, I won the lottery, I won the lottery. Show me the money. I won it. I really did. I don't see it in your bank account. I won the lottery. Hope that's seen isn't hope. And we live in that really fun time going, we won the lottery. Won the lottery. Won the lottery. We're at the wedding reception. You know, that's it. You know, couples, you're at the wedding reception. You haven't entered into the married life yet, but it's going to be great. If you can grab a hold and not go, I'm just kidding myself with this lottery ticket. I'm sure it was just a joke. And that's unfortunately what we do. Because our focus and our attention makes stuff invisible to us. And God's in a gorilla suit going. And we're like, but my bank account, my credit score. Ooh, 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 ooh. Right? You ever felt like God's doing that to you? Like, hey, hey, hey. Go down, look behind the pipe. Now, hope that's seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That sounded like amen. We're just going to let that be that. Glory, hallelujah, Pentecostal. Whoa, Shaman. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You know, my prayer life isn't what it should be. Well, you're missing out on that. Sorry about you. But the Holy Spirit's like, I got you covered. I got you covered. You know, there are those things in your life you can't even articulate. You can't even tell God what the problem is. All you can do is point to it inside and go, God, that... I'd have to be a miraculous poet to be able to describe it. It's just that... God. He goes, yeah, I know. I already prayed for you for that. And someday you will point to that as a distant, curious memory. So stop sweating and enjoy the fact that you're an heir, a joint heir with Christ. All his riches are yours. Your life is hid with him. We know, verse 28, that we know that in everything, God works the lottery for... that's a variant text from North Africa. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him. Do you know that, or do you keep questioning it? We know it. Like, we know we won the lottery. We all show me the bank. No, we won. We won. We know that he started it, he's going to do it, and he's going to make us right. We're not always going to limp in our souls, in our minds, in our attitudes. We're not always going to keep tripping. We won. We know that in everything, God works for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Yes, you really will look like Jesus. Yes, all those things that frustrate you really will be gone. Yes, you will be hit with the big reboot. And yes, you will relax. In order that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to this? If God's for us, who's against us? If you got the lottery ticket, who, you know, what bill really matters? Except Bill Gates. If God is for us, who's against us? He who didn't spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us all things with him? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to condemn? It's Christ who died, yes, who was raised from the dead, who's at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or bad credit scores, or people slandering you, or loss of friends, or threatened job, or peril, or famine, or nakedness, or sword. As it's written, for thy sake we're being killed all the day long, we're regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am certain that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Live like you won already. You have won. You are an heir. How do we do that? Let the Spirit lead you. Don't follow the flesh. It's that easy. You don't have to sin. You don't have to. It's like you don't need that thing. You don't need that stress. You don't need that self-protection. And you don't need that pleasure. There's plenty of other good stuff. I doubt that he ever got his van fixed. I think he left that thing. Maybe he's just going to let it sit forever. Maybe he's going to, you know, enshrine it, tow it, beat it to pieces with a sledgehammer, laugh and dance around it, set it on fire, shoot it to the moon. I don't care, right? But he doesn't care about getting that fixed, and he doesn't care about the wrench he lost last week at all. Last week, it was really funny. Brad made an observation. See, because Bronson was up at the top of the hill with the donuts, right? And, you know, involving some of the young people in some of the hospitality stuff. Brad noticed that he made the fatal mistake of sending the box of donuts Ian McDiarmid. I'm standing there, and Ian's coming across the field, you know, slowly. Oh, yeah! Like, step, grab, step, grab, step, grab, step. You know? The box arrives with the aroma of donuts. That's it. You know? Poof be with you, you know? That's somebody who knows what's really in his hand. He's not going, where are the donuts, you know? Where are the donuts? Where are the donuts? He's going, I got the donuts right here. I know where the donuts are. I have not lost the donuts. They are here. They are mine. Live like Ian McDiarmid. Here's your inheritance. Grab that peace. Shove it in your soul. Grab that confidence. Shove it in your soul. Grab that holiness. Shove it in your soul. Grab that freedom. Shove it in your soul. Just walk along going, yeah, I got plenty of this, man. You know? Nope. I don't care if anybody else gets some. I'm getting it. Right? The aroma of Christ. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you realize? Jesus said, take my body. Take my blood. I don't know where Jesus is. He's right in your hand, you fool. You know, pardon saying fool, but you know what I mean? It's like, I have never seen Jesus. Oh, yeah? Walk over there. Open the pan. God is humble enough to be probably a 5'3" Palestinian. He's humble enough to live in bread and wine. They're both just proteins, lipids, and water, right? He says, if you need to grab my hem, if you need me to be here, I'll be right here in your hand. Grab me. You want life? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Don't crumple the lottery ticket and throw it away. Grab it and take it to the bank. You want cleansing of your sins? Grab hold of Jesus. You want healing of your heart? Grab hold of Jesus. You want cleansing for your mind? Grab hold of Jesus. You just want a little peace? Grab hold of Jesus. You want the presence of God in your life? Grab hold of Jesus. You are what you eat. Let Christ fill you today. And let go of this week's stressful van broken down. Grab hold of Jesus. We're going to have the kids come out, and they're going to receive a blessing, those who aren't quite old enough to take communion yet. And if you're in a situation, if you're not a believer, refrain. I would highly encourage you not to remain an unbeliever. Just walk up, say, Jesus, you can take my whole life. I'm going to grab a hold of you. You grab a hold of me, and we'll work out the details later. You can sign contracts pretty quickly. Oh, yeah, what'd you sign? I'm not really sure, but I'm sure I'll find out. Same thing. Walk up, grab hold of Jesus. Say, Lord, take my life. And then partake of the communion. But if you're not in that place yet, just ask for blessing. The elders will bless you. So the kids ready? Not elders?
Yeah, I'm not elders. Come on.
Cool.